Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Now I'd like to recognize Senior Chancellor Adam Miller for an update on Warrington Middle School. Thank you, Superintendent. Commissioner, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to contain the level of frustration that I have right now because there are partners in the area, including the state college president who has come forward and attended these meetings. You have Senator, who's the appropriations chair of the Florida Senate, who is all in on trying to solve this issue. And I apologize, Mr. Chair, but all I hear is excuses, and I can't reconcile that with 10 years of failure to these students, and that all we have is excuses from adults at this point.
This is Manny Diaz, the Secretary of Education Commissioner. This is at the Board of Education meeting where they were there to talk about Warrington Middle School, and Tim Smith was there, Superintendent Smith, and Paul Fetzko, Board Chair for Escambia County. And I want to use polite language, but I kind of don't. They got their blanks handed to them. I mean, they got scolded as much as I have ever heard anybody get scolded in a meeting of this sort, and told, you all are not doing your jobs. This school has been a D or an F school for 11 plus years. The worst failing school in the entire state. No other school has been in this condition for this long. Y'all need to figure this out. And yeah, your choices are not good at this point. Close the school or get Charter Schools USA in here with a bunch of terms that you don't prefer. It doesn't matter what you prefer. You're failing the students now. Close the school or sign the deal. That's it. Those are your choices. And like I said, the tone of the meeting was strong. I'll just put it that way. It was very, very strong. You had Paul Fetzko talking.
We have 9 really good charter schools in Escambia County. I welcome charter schools. We've seen them do wonderful jobs. We've had some who have not and have closed. But we welcome the opportunity to do that. We want to work with Charter Schools USA, but the last-minute non-negotiables have been extremely difficult.
At things like, you know, that if they do building on the site that, and then something happens where they don't perform or they leave the deal later on, that the school board would have to pay them back for the construction. Things like the term of the deal, 5 years, 7 years, 15 years with renewals. Things like in a couple of years abandoning the school zone that Warrington Middle currently occupies. Things like expanding it up to a K-12. Things like the lease rate. And even things like having to provide, you know, just like the job application, basically, which has been one of the points as they keep talking about, well, we don't have an application. Yeah, but you already have the understanding that this is who's going to work with you. What's the problem? It's you know, and the board was frustrated with them. Like, this doesn't make sense. You've already agreed to get basically married to this organization. You're going to hire them, and you keep wanting them to fill out the stupid paperwork ahead of time. It's dumb.
The other thing that we've had some difficulty with is there has been no charter application.
Who selected Charter Schools USA?
I have no idea.
Superintendent?
Yes.
Was that a choice that your school district made?
Yes. Okay. They were the only one interested.
So in the matter of an application, so you picked them, and now you're asking them to jump through a bureaucratic hoop of filling out an application? You've been working with them for a year. What's the point of an application? Is it to fill out the form?
Here's what I need. I just need a final agreement so they can start staffing the school.
So that's what we really need.
And that was like every point they brought up. Every point that Tim Smith and Paul Fetzko brought up, they kind of addressed and asked questions about, and then they kind of wait. Well, that's not really the issue. Well, then why'd you bring all this stuff up? Get the deal done.
My question to you is, are you going to get the contract with Charter Schools USA signed by May 1st or not?
That's to be determined.
Oh.
And that's really one of the things where we are in negotiation now, but there are some difficult points that we have that we have not agreed upon.
That's to be determined. That's not the answer they were looking for, I will tell you that. This is Vice Chair Ryan Petty.
Chair Fetzko, I don't know if you were there or not. I don't know when your term started, but last August, members of this board, including myself, toured Warrington Elementary School. I walked the hallways. I looked into the eyes of those kids. I sat in an eighth grade math classroom where the algebra books that should have been part of teaching and learning that day were sitting on a shelf. I pointed them out to the commissioner while I sat and watched a teacher teach eighth graders basic arithmetic.
Oh, God, it's heartbreaking to hear this stuff.
You have been failing these students for more than a decade. What I don't hear from either of you is a sense of urgency. These kids deserve better. This school needs to be fixed. This board is out of patience with the Escambia County School District. This needs to get done, and it needs to get done immediately.
You hear this tone? I mean, this is, they went to the principal's office and they're getting, I mean, detention, suspension. Do your jobs.
And Vice Chair, I too have a sense of urgency. So it's important you understand that, because I'm concerned with the lateness of this. I want to remind you that we have done everything this board has directed us to do. And I welcome any question on that, anything that we have not done, which we have been directed to do over the many times I have been before you.
And I understand where he's coming from. Like, we're trying to do what you tell us to do, but I mean, now you're blaming the board for, like, it's, take the ownership. Do it. 717 News Radio 92.3. A little bit more on this in a second. Candy has traffic for you.
This is brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer that Dave Ramsey and Andrew McKay recommend in Pensacola, right behind the Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Taking a look around, there's a few accidents to watch out for. Davis and Brent showing one. No roadblock there. Hollywood Avenue, North Hansel on the west side. No roadblock there either. Mobile Highway in West Fairfield near the Home Depot. It looks like there's an accident, but that's also been cleared up. Certainly caution wherever you are. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you're an employer, you've got employees, you're working on their benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource management, payroll, all of that. Listen, those are things that some people, I suppose, maybe rarely, love dealing with and thinking about and working on. But I figure most of you, if you're business owners, you hate this stuff. You don't want to deal with it. That's not why you got into business. That's just the necessary bureaucratic stuff that you've got to do to take care of your employees, which you care about, but which isn't fun to do. Well, that's why you call Torgas and Causey. They'll help. They'll give your employees options. I know because they gave us options. They'll make things simpler. I know because they made things simpler for us. They're responsive when they have questions. I know because they improved that service level we had over the folks we were using before. I mean, they have been great for us for about 5 or 6 years here at News Radio and Cat Country. And, you know, I'm grateful because they gave us things that we did not really have under the previous system. So I personally recommend them. They're great. Locally owned and operated, more than 20 years in local business. Give them a call today for a no-obligation review of what you're doing. Torgas & Causey, 433-9996, or check out their website, tcbenefitsgroup.com. So back to the Board of Education meeting, and Tim Smith, superintendent, and board chair from Escambia County, Paul Fetzko, were there getting their blanks handed to them. It was brutal to watch. And here's the thing. The tone that I heard contrasted between Paul Fetzko explaining how every time we bring up a new deal to try to negotiate this, the deal just keeps getting worse and worse. And, you know, we're concerned about this and we're concerned about that. I heard a very contrasting tone from him in this meeting compared to what I heard from him in the previous meeting just a couple of weeks ago. Now, I understand that some of the deal points have even gotten worse since then, or at least that's what it seems to be the case. But here's how he was at the meeting.
The sticking points are the dissolving of the attendance zone. For us, it is a major thing, because we're either going to redistrict the kids who are in that zone now or later.
If they make it a K-12, that's going to gradually in 3 years get rid of the attendance zone, so they're a choice charter school, not a part of the attendance zone, as has been the sticking point along the way. But listen, if you try to put these students, like if you close the school and you put 600 DNF students into the other middle schools, I think one of which is a D already and can't be put into, and the other two, you would downgrade at least one of them to a DF and possibly the other one. What's the other answer? You know, and by the way, if this doesn't work, like, because some people are saying that the problems at Warrington are too endemic, they're surrounding issues, it's not going to be fixed by even a charter school. Okay, well, then we better prepare for 2 to 3 years from now to close that school, and then what? We better be writing that plan in case that's the issue. Paul Fetzko again.
We need to know what's happening with our students. I need to know for the parents that I represent who elected me to be able to say, yes, your child is going to be well cared for, well educated. You can expect your child to achieve. And that's the only thing that comes out of anything like a charter contract.
And Esther Byrd, another board member, did not take that comment so well.
You said that you needed to be able to tell those parents that their children were going to be cared for and they were going to be to accomplish what they were going to learn. But can you currently say that?
Ouch.
Can you currently say to the parents of the children at Warrington Middle School that they're succeeding and that they're being taught? Because these numbers don't say that that's currently the case. So I don't see how another option could be worse than what we have right now.
Like, it couldn't be worse than what it is. Stop dilly-dallying. Stop throwing off all this chaff and saying, you know, you got to promise the parents this, and we don't like the nature of this deal, and it puts us in this awkward position in the future. It's close the school or take Charter Schools USA. Those are your choices, and they're not willing to close the school. Now, what I thought was interesting was, because I had remembered the tone that Paul Fetzko took in the board meeting on, I think it was April 3rd, when he was saying things like,
I find it almost ludicrous. I find it very unprofessional.
About the offer from Charter Schools USA.
I'm now taken aback that they've drawn the line in the sand, non-negotiables. Our non-negotiable needed to be either you have something turned in by this date or you're not in it.
So he's saying that. He's saying that, you know, look, it's not a starter to even look at their deal.
I'm shocked that we're continuing to even discuss some of this. That it's ludicrous. Okay, the K-12 model, to have that come in at the last minute is just, for me, it's a non-negotiable.
And even saying we just even shouldn't work with these people.
I just find it a very poor way to do business, and I don't think that this is a group that we should be wanting to do business with long term.
And even saying, you know, we should stop being letting ourselves be jerked around by these people.
We need to stop being jerked around by somebody who apparently realizes they're holding all the cards that were handed to them by the DOE and state board.
And in fact, he says, well, I'd just as soon close it.
I would rather see us close I would rather see the State Board of Education close Warrington Middle School.
So I'm curious whether the Board of Education heard any of those comments. I'm curious whether they watched that meeting, bothered to wade through all of that meeting to hear those comments by him in tone contrast, saying, well, we're trying to work with them. We're trying to make this happen. And that's not what I heard in that meeting. What I heard in the first meeting at the beginning of the month was, these guys suck. I'm washing my hands of it. I don't want to deal with this. And then in front of the Board of Education, you know, taken down to the principal's office. Oh, no, you know, we're trying to figure this out. We're working on it. I think I'm with the Board of Education. Yeah, the deal might look bad. But what is your choice? What's the alternate plan? For 12 or 11 years, you know? 724 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
No person needs to pursue pride. Carnal pride is the natural resting place of a person's heart. In contrast, 1 Peter 5:6 calls people to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Notice that the task to pursue humility is given to us. It says, humble yourselves. So what's your plan to humble yourself? I suggest that plan should begin with the phrase, under the mighty hand of God. What good thing do you have that you didn't receive from God's mighty hand? The answer is nothing. Humility begins with the realization that every positive thing I am and every good thing that I have is all because of God's lavish grace through the provision of His mighty hand. Pursuing humility starts with praising God. Be sure to take time to humbly adore Jesus for His grace in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 9 to join me, Tasca King, and I'll show you how to navigate through the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. That's today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade, afternoons at 11, before Dave Ramsey, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 727 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic for you.
Out of breath, dancing to Depeche Mode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in my head. There's a lot going on, mostly on the west side of Fairfield. There's an accident near the Home Depot on Mobile Highway and Fairfield, but it's not showing a roadblock. And then on the other side of that corner, there's another accident near the Lowe's, ironically. So, I shouldn't be lying. It's not that, but it looks like the roadway is clear. They're both moved off to the side. So, use caution there and wherever you are. Hollywood Avenue, North Hansel Street in Pensacola is showing an accident. No roadblock there. I'm not showing roadblocks anywhere. Davis and Brent Lane in Pensacola also showing an accident, but again, not a roadblock there as either. It looks like everything else doing fine so far. And certainly, if you know different, if you have a traffic tip, text in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
In South Carolina, former lawyer and convicted murderer Alex Murdoch being charged now with two counts of tax evasion. Murdoch currently spending life in prison for the murder of his wife and son in 2021. Harvard has selected former New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern for several fellowships. The school announced yesterday that Ardern's been chosen for fellowships at Harvard Kennedy School for Law, or School Center for Public Leadership, and at Harvard Law School. Of course, Ardern became the youngest world leader at age 37. And
that's a get for them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And here's one for you, an interesting story. A Georgia inmate has admitted to stealing millions of dollars from billionaire movie producer Sidney Kimmel. The man said in a hearing this week he impersonated Kimmel on a contraband cell phone while still in jail, mind you, and convinced a Charles Schwab customer service rep to wire like $11 million an Idaho company. That company purchased gold coins. Then he had a private plane fly the coins to Atlanta and used $4 million of it to buy a luxury mansion. He did all of this while still in jail. The inmate has pleaded guilty now to fraud conspiracy charges. Let the slow clap roll, yeah.
I mean, sometimes you just have to sit back and be like,
this is the wrong take, but why can't we think of stuff like that?
Make him a governor somewhere, you know? Yeah.
Think of what he could have done if he wasn't in jail.
I mean, what if he was doing the right stuff? It'd be amazing. I mean, that's you got to admire the plot. Sometimes you got to be like, man, that's wow.
Catch me if you can. Wait, no.
Exactly.
Caught me.
How long now till the movie comes out?
No, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, and he'll star in it from jail. I mean, why not? David, thanks so much for the update. 747 here on News Radio 729 here on News Radio 92.3. Yeah, this question of will Tucker Carlson run for president is one that's kind of been floated in a couple different places.
Do people actually think
that? Yeah, even Vivek Ramaswamy says, man, I think he'd be a good addition to the GOP field. He'd be...
people know him.
He'd be like, one theory is that he'd be like DeSantis in, you know, viewpoint, but maybe better on his feet with the quips, you know, better able to debate Donald Trump. I don't actually think it's likely, but it's an interesting theory, and, you know, sometimes the interesting theory alone. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
We've got some safety tips from Santa Rosa County after that skimmer scam right after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Now dead, the mastermind of a suicide bombing in Afghanistan as American troops withdrew and the Taliban took over.
The Pentagon saying in a statement, quote, the Department of Defense can confirm that the senior ISIS-K plotter responsible for planning the August 26, 2021 attack on Abbey Gate, which killed 13 U.S. service members, was killed in Afghanistan by the Taliban in early April. The United States was not involved in this operation.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. President Biden hosts the president of South Korea today at the White House.
South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol's visit will include summit talks and a state dinner. The first state visit to the U.S. by a South Korean leader since 2011 and marks the 70th anniversary of the alliance between the two countries.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. House Republicans meet again behind closed doors this morning trying to finalize their bill to raise the nation's debt limit and cut spending. It's been altered to get more votes. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 66 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola today. Well, deputies continue investigating that recent skimmer scam involving hundreds of people's personal information in Santa Rosa County. And Sheriff Bob Johnson has tips on keeping your information safe. He says sometimes scammers use cameras to try to catch you entering your PIN number. He says, without that PIN number, they can't use your information.
They try it really quick. So a lot of times you'll see on your card statement, it'll be too late by the time you get it, but you'll see a charge for like 5 cents because they're checking it to see if it's working. And then the next charge will be 2,000 or something like that. So they can get a lot of money, a lot of merchandise in a very short time frame.
And Johnson tells Channel 3 also that if an ATM where you put the card in, if it looks strange, you can always pull on that card reader gently. And if there's a skimmer attached, that would come off fairly easily. The faith-based coalition Just Pensacola plans on attending this week's Pensacola City Council meeting. They're continuing their calls for action on the city's affordable housing crisis. During their meeting last Monday, they suggested that the city should establish a trust fund and set aside about $4.2 million a year for 10 years for the cause.
To hamper our ability to operate the city by taking a significant portion of the general fund in which to have set aside is not the most nimble use of dollars. It's very, very rigid.
Mayor D.C. Reeves says he agrees philosophically with the group, but disagrees tactically. He says their proposal doesn't take things into consideration like grant money or Senate Bill 102. That's a $711 million bill. There we go. That'll incentivize developers of affordable housing across the state. Well, the city of Pensacola has been sifting through name submissions for the street sweeper naming contest. Ultimately, that contest will determine the official name for the city's newest street sweepers. And some of the finalists, including Bruce Springs Clean, Darth Sweeper, Obi-Wan Kleenobi, I like that one, and of course, Sweepy McSweepface. Voting open on the city of Pensacola's website. That'll be open until 5 o'clock on Wednesday, May 3rd. You may have been caught up in a traffic jam last weekend if you were headed over to Pensacola Beach. Apparently, it was the third busiest traffic day on record. More than 23,000 vehicles passing through that toll plaza last Saturday, another 20,000 on Sunday. And at one point, the backup did make it all the way to Three Mile Bridge, despite the best efforts of remote operators trying to keep everything moving along.
You know, we've refined a cycle on how we'd like to move traffic. But if in the instance of last Saturday, when there was still heavy, heavy volume coming on, even at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he was adjusting that to try to keep it off of Highway 98. And then as soon as we met that criteria, then he was able to start flushing Fort Pickens. We had a 3 minutes of green time at a time to try to get everything moving.
County Commissioner Robert Bender there, he says, really, there's only so much you can do, especially with that many vehicles headed to the beach. But he says there was a lot of people because of a combination of great weather, the National Seashore offering free access for the beginning of National Parks Week, and, of course, the Crawfish Festival. 7:35 right now. It's News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. Watching an accident. And thank you so much for texting in. This just happened. And lanes are blocked southbound. Highway 29 between 9.5 Mile Road and 10 Mile Road in the southbound lane. There's an accident. And again, it looks like it's backed up southbound lanes all the way. About a mile, too, is what I'm hearing. Other accidents, but it doesn't look like they're a roadblock right now. So caution. New accident again. Highway 29. In between 9.5 Mile and 10 Mile Road, and the southbound lanes are backed up for about a mile. If you have traffic tips, and thank you so much. Text 437-1620 is brought to you by Avalon HR. With everything going on, you need Avalon. That's employing made easy, and I believe they're going to be on Pep Talk a little later on this morning. Traffic tips, again, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing some showers possible today with a 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. We're going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms throughout the afternoon and evening on Thursday. 80% chance of rain overall, high near 78. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 67. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 66. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, and 63 in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. Microsoft shares are up 7% in pre-market trading after the software maker issued quarterly results and a forecast that exceeded analyst predictions. The company says it's excited about the early feedback and demand signals from the AI capabilities it has announced to date. Microsoft also says it will continue to invest in its cloud infrastructure. Germany's Viessmann Group is selling its climate solutions business to Florida-based Carrier Global Corporation in a $13.2 billion deal. The sale comes as Germany is putting into place plans to phase out gas and oil heating systems as a way to curb global warming. Mattel says it will be adding a new Down syndrome doll to its Barbie lineup. The doll was developed by the toy maker in collaboration with the National Down Syndrome Society. On Wall Street, futures higher after stocks closed sharply lower yesterday. The Dow Industrials lost 344. That's Your Money Now.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
It's the biggest party of the year. Unfiltered, off-kilter, and a little unhinged with PLT's Cabaret Off-Broadway. Saturday, May 6th, Cabaret's Playhouse theme transforms the theater and surrounding block into an indoor-outdoor entertainment complex, seamlessly fusing local art and celebration to showcase art as the life of the party. Come immerse yourself in the best of Pensacola's art scene. Get your tickets now before it sells out at the Pensacola Little Theater box office or online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That can only mean that it's time for DC Talk with DC Reeves. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I had a friend who he's like, man, it's so good to hear that song. Like, I didn't, you know, I didn't think about them for a long time. He said, it was just really good to hear that song. All right. So we have a lot of things at the meeting tonight. You know, if last week's meeting, which was, I think, like 40 minutes, was a record-breaking short one, tomorrow night is going to be, at least in terms of substance, an awful lot of stuff. So let's get into it. The port and the pickleball, volleyball, what's the name of this soccer-esque game that they're also building? Anyway, there's all kinds of stuff in this. The concern that people have raised to me is that somehow or other, in giving them this lease, giving them railroad on the west side, some concern about water access, the theory is this. D.C. Reeves is just taking the first shot at ending a deep water port, and what this is going to mean in the long run is we're going to lose the ability to, you know, have dredging capability. We're going to lose the deep water. This is going to cost us the Navy base or access to it with, you know, deep water hulls and things like this. Can you address that concern?
Sure. Well, I'll start with I'm 39 years old, and the last lease on this building was 45 years ago. So, as I say, any customers, anybody out there that's interested in, we've got plenty of property at the port for plenty of maritime uses. So, you know, we can't chase ghosts in all of these uses and utilizations that are out there in some world of ambiguity, right? And so if we have these, we aren't turning these away. We have not spent 45 years turning these away. We have a 45,000 square foot warehouse that has been ultimately cargo. It, you know, 30% full at this point, at its maximum rent level, about $225,000 a year when it was just full with cargo. It needs upgrades. It needs improvements. It needs probably a roof north of $1 million. So there's a lot of different things that go into this warehouse in particular. And this is my philosophy about the port. And you can really tie it to both American Magic and this project, which is we have 50 acres in the heart of a vibrant downtown. That does not allow a port to have the economy of scale that a Panama City or a Mobile does in terms of cargo laydown area, all these different things that require lots of acreage. That doesn't mean we change the value of, we have rail that gets to the water. That's a huge catalytic value to the community. Yes, the existence of the port and its features not only help grow the economy on the port, it helps us have industrial uses in the rest of the community. So that in itself is an asset that I'm talking about. But so is using the puzzle pieces we have for economic development. Rent, $225,000 of rent in that building versus $25,000 in potentially regional tournaments, every weekend, every month, that will dwarf the market rate rent you would ever get in a building in that state, that size, that condition. So what I'm trying to do, American Magic, same thing. It doesn't make it any better or worse for our community, whether they're making parts for a boat in there or they're sailing out of that. Or at the end of the day, we have a finite amount of puzzle pieces of which we can play on 50 acres in the heart of a downtown. So we want to play them not just for the rent that they create on the profit and loss sheet of the port, but what they can do economically and how they can compound an economic value. And so I would say both port, strictly traditional port uses like the rail, like CMEX, like some of the things that are already there, cause catalytic value, as do both of these projects. And so I don't look at it as if they don't make rope or they don't make, you know, horns for boats, that somehow doesn't mean that it's a functional port use and where it sits in the uniqueness of our community.
So I'm gonna ask you that.
We're gonna go. We're gonna play the puzzle pieces we have.
So that all makes sense to me. And just because on behalf of the people that are asking me this other question, I'm gonna ask you the really almost awkwardly bare level question, which is this. DC, sure. Are you committed to keeping, the southern end of the port and the deep water portions of the port active, functional as a port, and all that comes with that in terms of the ability to justify dredging and the collateral value to NAS Pensacola, aside from the puzzle pieces on the north side that you're working with now?
As I've told the Propeller Club since the campaign, I don't see that it would be logical or functional for our community to lose the ability for rail, to lose the ability to have a port, and what that does, not just on the port, but in the rest of our county, rest of our region. So absolutely, that is a primary function of that location. So My plan is to follow the plan we have, which is the botanical study that suggests exactly as you just stated, as well as starting to be smart and logical and more innovative about how we could take the north part of the port and make that really shine for us economically. So there is a happy marriage there between traditional uses and trying to have a vision for the future. And that's the plan that I'm intending on following.
And by the way, the people who have raised this to me, my answer to them was, I cannot imagine a world where Clark Merritt and Amy Miller, the now port director and the former port director who works as your assistant city administrator, I can't imagine a world in which they wouldn't be equally committed. And their answer was, well, they work for the mayor. I'm like, yeah, but they wouldn't work. I mean, it's, you know, like, I can't, this is not, I don't think that's the likely world that's coming. We're talking to D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, hang on for just a second. Let's get traffic on the fives with Candy.
Traffic is stopped southbound on Highway 29 between 9.5 and 10 Mile Road after an accident this morning. Use caution wherever you are. It's brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Knox them out. And serving your family and their family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. That's KNOX. Knox knocks them out. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor Reeves. You and I have talked several times about Graffiti Bridge and your proposed warning system, the chimes that will play a beautiful melody when the wind is blowing. Who knows? I say the one concern that I've had raised, and by the way, thank you so much. It came out in the agenda conference on Monday. One of our listeners raised the question of what about tall boats that are just trying to go to the boat launch? What about them? You guys are working on that and trying to make sure that you can accommodate that. I appreciate that on behalf of our listeners who asked the question and all the boat users. But I'll tell you the other concern that people have raised with me is, Andrew, can we not do something that's a little bit less ugly? is there not a way to get the end result and not be, you know, that exactly? DC?
Yeah. Well, so, you know what's funny? I'll put my old journalism cap back on.
Yeah.
Probably a misstep I made was the photo that's out there was used as an example. We haven't even designed it yet, right?
Right.
So what it made me realize, now, it's just supposed to be an example of the concept, but I know better than that, and I've got people saying, that thing only, that costs $150,000?
Right.
Well, it's not exactly that. It might be, you know, so, but that I know better. I should have known better and said, hey, let's have a more detailed photo of exactly what, you know, the whole scale of this and what it, closer to what it looks like instead of it's going to be something like this. But that's what design is for, you know? So we can't really speak to that yet. Once we have the funding, we're going to be able to say, okay, here's design. And I'm sure we'll have alternatives. But at the end of the day, I mean, unless we were to do something much more expensive and, you know, a screen, something like that, it's going to be a tangible structure,
right,
in some version. And it's going to probably chimes in some version. So I would normally say, hey, guys, let's not get ahead of ourselves based on that photo. But as I've got to own that, too. I probably should have. We probably could have messaged that better to say, this isn't exactly what we're doing. This is just the concept of what we're doing.
Yeah, sort of a big bright red note on that picture that said something like, just an idea for function. It will look better
right,
than this.
Right, exactly.
I appreciate that.
Exactly. It'll look nicer than this. Yeah, exactly.
The Malcolm Young Gym, you said it's uninhabitable. Is this a, like, I mean, what, demolish it? What's going to happen with this gym?
Yeah, well, the, you know, first step, because of the timing, the fact that we have a leaseholder, you know, I had asked the structural, the Geosyntec who was doing the structural assessment to basically say, hey, guys, you've already been through the building. I get it. We're waiting on the formal report, but tell me what we saw here, you know, because it is time sensitive. The school's using it. If they say it, it's okay to have people in there, let's turn around and get them back in there. You know, I mean, I just felt a duty to a leaseholder to work as quickly as possible. So that was the assessment they gave. So first step will be for us to take a look at exactly what it says. I imagine there'll be some cost estimate ranges if it isn't in this report that we would have soon after about if there was some kind of repair, but we just got to see what this report says. But from this point forward, you know, I mean, speaking realistically, given what we know about this building, I think that there's the solution to renovate or replace the roof or the beams, I imagine is going to be significantly upside down for, you know, the age and condition of the building. That's speculating right now, but we'll look at that report first and then we'll make a decision from there. But, you know, I just want to speak in reality here that a project of that size and scale on a building that old, I'm guessing, is not going to be very pragmatic, but we'll see what happens.
Which makes sense, and I just know, you know, sometimes buildings are too old and too messed up to be able to fix them, and so something else has to be done. And I appreciate you contextualizing that with, well, pending the report and subsequent information. We normally like to end with a lightning round, but I think instead of that this week, we're just going to talk about street sweeper names. we've cut down to 12. Three that I, well, actually four that I predicted would be on the list are on the list. Grim Sweeper, Lightning McQueen, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Sweeping Beauty. I've voted already and expressed my opinion along these lines. The way I hear it is you have different preferences.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm partial to Dirk Reynolds. I don't know, you know, my
Candy's
FSU
on board.
Alum. I mean, envisioning the mustache that we put on the front of this thing or the Trans Am logo on
not
the
flaming Firebird. You'd put a mustache. Okay, I can see it. I can see that'd be funnier. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and look, as you're voting, I think you have to think about not just the best name, but how it could be best characterized on the vehicle. You know, I think that should get a few brownie points whenever you're making these difficult decisions.
So so what I hear you saying is that you are committed not merely to just renaming, but you're committed to paint scheme. Is that what I hear you saying?
At minimum, yes, they will be labeled in an appropriate manner. I would not do a disservice to the community in such a way as to have them name these things and not have them have the proper name on the sweeper itself. If we're going to do this, we got to go all the way.
Okay, so as you say, I see mustache, I see Firebird for Dirt Reynolds. I start to see, of course, Lightning McQueen. I start to think about things like, well, which one can you paint like the A-Team van? I mean, that's what I'm starting to look at here among some of these alternatives. But, you know, you've got to consider paint scheme in the process, which means perhaps that Sweeping Beauty, though by far the most popular one, I think, by acclamation on the suggestions, I'm not sure what paint scheme you do with that, so maybe that one doesn't work. Is it just going to be pure popularity on the votes, or is there still some executive input to be made on this?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna pretty much stick to pure popularity, and,
okay.
And we tried. If you go on the vote, you know, there's also one of them is different than the other two,
right.
And maybe that we wanted to get someone to say, hey, I like a name to the smaller one, you know, this particular name versus the larger ones, and so. So if you go on there, you'll be able to vote, specifically to each one. So we'll try to follow that as best we can. You know, if there's a situation where one name was overwhelmingly second place on all three, obviously we'll factor that in as
sure.
well. But, we'll take a look at it. But it's been awesome. I mean, honestly, we've got great feedback from it. And it's why we do these kind of things is it's not that we don't have major serious priorities, but I think it's good to show the community, to not only get some of their creativity, but collaborate on a fun project that and bring some awareness to the stuff that our hardworking citizens and employees in the city of Pensacola do every day, and bring a little highlight to that as well.
So we've
been really excited about all the positive response and really the response period. All 1,600 names. And these votes are flowing in nonstop since we put it up yesterday.
It is literally good, clean, or cleaning fun. D.C. Reeves, he is the mayor
there
of Pensacola.
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
We'll look forward to city council meeting next tomorrow night, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week, sir. Thanks, as always, for the time. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
7:53 on News Radio 92.3. If you're working on a project, you're fixing something up and you need supplies, hardware, safety equipment, whatever it is, Pensacola Hardware. Or, and I know you might not think about this as much, if you haven't been there. That's what if you've been there, you already think about this. But if you haven't, and you need to buy a gift for somebody, I'm not exaggerating. Just go and look.
They
just
have it.
Go and look. Because the front, quarter, fifth of the store is all houseware stuff. Amazing. So, genuinely, you'll walk in and be like, oh, I need that, I need that, I need that. What was I here for? Oh, yeah, to buy a gift for somebody else. That's what's going to happen. So, whether you're doing remodeling, repair, or any kind of construction, or you need gifts and housewares, Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place. Nothing is everything.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
With the largest selection of in-stock vinyl plank flooring at the guaranteed lowest price, Home Outlet is your destination for all of your flooring needs. Modernize your space with easy-to-install rustic loft stone core vinyl plank, including pad, just $249 per square foot. Or brighten your space with the Sanibel Pier waterproof composite core vinyl plank with pad for only $319 per square foot. Visit the team at your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet to get started on your project today.
Are you ready to start saving money on your energy bill? Join Compass Solar Energy tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Compass Solar has been locally owned and operated here in the Pensacola area for over 20 years, and they are Northwest Florida's premier solar company. Call in with your questions as we all navigate through the rising cost of energy. That's tomorrow at 10:30 with Compass Solar Energy and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The tall ships are coming! The tall ships are coming! Tall Ships America is bringing its Tall Ships Challenge back to Pensacola April 27th through the 30th. Five tall ships will be available for on-deck tours, sailaways, and a variety of special events and festival festivities. Buy your tickets to the tall ships at tallshipspensacola.org. Let the tall ships take you back in time at tallshipspensacola.org. That's tallshipspensacola.org.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Super and succotash.
Good morning. Candy has traffic on the fives.
A bad accident. This is Highway 29 southbound between 9.5 and 10 Mile Road. It is backed up at least a mile. Three cars involved in that accident, and that's what's slowing people down this morning. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Bed Bath & Beyond beginning its going out of business sales today after filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy Sunday. The company says all sales will be final and stores are no longer accepting coupons, but you can still use gift cards if you have any laying around until May 8th. And the new governing board for the district that has oversight for land around Walt Disney World expected to vote today to formally void that deal the old board struck with Disney in February. The deal would have given Disney building rights over the property and veto power over anything the state-appointed board wanted to do with the property. A long legal battle expected.
Did you see the thing yesterday that came out that we're looking to impose oversight and safety inspections of the monorail system on Disney?
I did not
good
see
Lord.
That.
I mean, look, it's not that there's not a justification for transportation and safety that the state has an interest in these things, but this is so petty. I mean, this is so petty. They've had like one incident in all the time it's been around, and this is the fight back. This is the, you know, the response to Disney, not just, you know, rolling over and playing dead, is, well, we can come inspect your monorail.
Well, I guess it's better than building a prison next door.
Right. Like, that's, it's so dumb. Like, okay, either take it over or don't take it over, but don't, like, you know, Chinese inspection them at the port, which is kind of what this feels like. Well, you know, we can check out your muffler real good if you're not careful. Okay. All right. Just do your jobs. David, thanks so much for the update. 729 here on News Radio 92.3. Chief Justice John Roberts, in response to the request that he come appear at a Senate hearing on judicial ethics reform, said, no thanks. I'm going to go ahead and preserve the separation of powers and not present myself as a source of testimony at an inquisition where it's likely to be, you know, an inquisition, and you're going to sit there and berate me or ask questions of me. I just go ahead and stick with what I've got.